Hebrews chapter 11. We started last Wednesday night, and some that are here tonight were not here last Wednesday night, so I'm just going to give a very, very quick review. I lit in on this to do it all in one service. That didn't work out. We got a long way through it, but just skipping through it. I'm talking in Hebrews chapter number 11 about the faith advantage. There are two kinds of people in the world, the unbeliever and the believer. I'm glad I'm a believer. Let me just say something to you tonight. I don't have time to explain it all together. Don't know if I can explain it. I just believe it's a fact. We can't even believe without him. I believe faith is a gift of God. Say amen. I believe God always initiates salvation. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Another place in the Bible said, no man seeketh after God. I struggled with that for a little while. Why would God tell us to do something we can't do? Well, we can do it. The Bible said, while he may be found. We didn't go seeking after him. He came seeking after us. Amen. And when you know in your heart he's seeking after you, that's time to seek after him. Amen. The Word of God in Hebrews chapter 11 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I just remember, Brother Brian, last Wednesday you were in Texas. Amen. I saw some other people that wasn't here, and you're normally here, but you weren't here either last Wednesday. So I give just a little bit of review about the faith advantage, and we'll go on as far as we can tonight. What advantage do the people of faith have over the unbeliever? Number one, we said we have hope. The Word of God talks about those in the world that don't have any hope. Aren't you glad tonight we have hope as the children of God? Number two, we have a changed life. And one of the things the Lord taught me as I looked at this, the Bible said here that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When I thought about evidence up until I studied this the last time, all I was thinking about was external evidence. In other words, the evidence in a believer's life that other people can look at him and say, that's a believer. I believe he's walking with God. But what the Lord really blessed me with, not only is there external evidence if we're a believer, there's internal evidence. How many can remember when the joy bells of heaven went off in your soul? Amen. And yet there was love, and there was joy, and there was peace. The Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The faith advantage, we have hope. We have a changed life. Number three, in verse number two, we're the only ones that can obtain a good report in the end. This world is full of people that think they're going to stand before God one day, and if the good things outweigh the bad things, they're going to get entrance into heaven and they're going to get a good report. That's a lie out of hell. Only people of faith can stand in the end and have a good report when they stand before God, because only faith pleases God. We're the only ones that can obtain a good report. Number four, and verse number three, we understand things that others do not. I told the church last Wednesday night, I heard this years ago, and it sounds kind of cute. They said, well, if there was a big bang, then there must have been a big banger. That sounds cute. But when you look at that verse of Scripture here, beloved, it's really not cute. The Bible said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There wasn't even two things to bang together. God just spoke the world into existence. The worlds are framed. We understand things that others do not. Number five, we know the sacrifice that's acceptable to God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We know it was blood then. It's been blood all the way through, and it's still the blood that saves from sin. We know that. And so that's an advantage that we have. Number six, in verse number five, we look forward to our own translation. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I believe everybody in this room surely is not looking for a grave. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Say amen. That's the hope of the born-again believer, the blessed hope of the church. Now, I may go. Brother Herman Anderson used to say, whether I go by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't have any control over how I go, but I know how I want to go. I want to go on a big load, don't you? Amen. And I believe Jesus is coming. We look forward to our own translations. Let me just say this. Whether I'm changed in the rapture or changed in the resurrection, amen, I will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Number 7, in verse number 6, we know what it takes to please God. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Number 8, in verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What's the faith advantage? We have made preparation for the impending judgment. Well, I'm still chewing on that message Brother Don gave us Sunday night. Judgment's coming. Amen. You say, how come judgment's coming? You say, how come it hadn't already come? Maybe the Bible, like it said about the Amorites, the cup of our iniquity's not yet full. But I want to tell you this, in America, she's filling up. Say amen. Let me just stop and say this tonight. I don't know if you understand for sure. I hope you do. What's in the balance just in the next Supreme Court judge? We had one that retired today. And beloved, listen, there's things been shoved down the throats of the American people for years and years and years and years. The one that's leaving, they say, well, he was a good man. He's one that made the decide and vote on a man marrying a man. I ain't taking it back, folk. I'm telling you, we need to be praying, amen, that God will set somebody up, amen, that believes this old book. And even just believes in the laws of nature. The Word of God said that's against nature. There's so much at stake. But we know tonight, and we've made preparation for the impending judgment. Number 9, we want to obey the Lord. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. I don't know if I've told the church this or not. I can't remember what I've told, where I told it, and who I told it to. But years ago, I was pastoring in Wise, Virginia. I was at the Hurricane Baptist Church. If you live up there, they call it the Hurricane. They don't say Hurricane. Everybody's got their own slang, just like Stanton and Staunton. Some people call it Stanton, Virginia. Some people call it Staunton, Virginia. Anyway, I know it's about 4 hours from my house to Stanton or Staunton, whichever one it is. I've parked there many times at Faith Baptist Church headed to Pennsylvania when I was a missionary with Rock of Ages. But you know, tonight, I really felt God was telling me in my heart that I needed to resign that church, that I needed to move on, that my work was done there. And I had a lot of reasons to believe that. And I didn't want to do something foolish. I didn't want to do something hasty. Let me just stop and say this tonight. Don't ever make life-changing decisions with a broken decision maker. I wanted to wait on God. I wanted to make sure. And I sought counsel from different men of God. Always have looked up to older men of God. I know they're not perfect, but I thank God for somebody that's been down the trail. Amen. Had I known Brother Jack, I would have called Brother Jack. That's the truth. Had I known him at the time, and there were other men in Kingsport that I did call, but I would have called him and I would have said, Brother, this is what's going on in my heart. What do you think? All four of the preachers I talked to told me the same thing. Listen to me carefully. They said, you're a man of God. You're a preacher. You got a family. I wouldn't leave without a place to go. Listen. The Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. They all looked at me and they all said the same thing. I wouldn't leave without a place to go. You've got a family. You've got a responsibility. And everything was going along fine until God rubbed my nose in this verse of Scripture one morning. He said, Abraham obeyed me and he didn't know where he was going. And I got my wife off to the side. I said, honey, I'm resigning tonight. I've got peace in my heart. God, I don't know where we're going. I don't know how we're going. I don't know how God's going to take care of us, but I know God wants us to go. And she already told me she already knew. She told me she already knew. Everybody ought to have a wife like that. Say amen to keep you out of trouble. Amen. All I'm trying to say tonight is, listen, the word of God, the faith advantage is we want to obey the Lord more than anything. I'm not saying that their counsel was bad. All I'm saying is that there is a counsel that's above man's counsel. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense when God tells us to do something. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. The faith advantage is, how many's been down the road far enough to know that it just pays to go with God? Amen. It pays to go with God. Number 10 tonight. I didn't mean to spend that much time reviewing. Maybe I shouldn't have read the text called amen. 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 I tell you what, them kids are in for a treat. They are. They're going to hear a man of God preach. Amen. Amen. I don't know, brother. You might not need a microphone. Amen. If you'll just speak up just a little bit. Amen. Maybe they can hear you. Amen. Brother Colt's a blessing. The next thing I want to give you, look at verse number 10. The faith advantage. I want to look at verse 10 and verse 13 through 16 as well in Hebrews 11. What advantage is it to be a believer, to have faith? The Word of God said in a simple statement, have faith in God. Number 10, in verse number 10, the Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here's the next thing that God spoke to my heart about. You know what we know that the world doesn't know? Listen to me carefully. We know that this world is not our home. Honey, I tell you what, I love home, don't you? Little place that was built in 1963 that we have down in Sir Gawainsville. That's the place on earth that we call home. But I'm going to tell you something. It will not compare to my real home. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And I believe with all of my heart that the faith advantage, look at verse number 13 down through verse number 16. The Word of God said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I believe with all of my heart, look at verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I tell you, that's a huge advantage tonight to realize this world is not our home. Everything we're looking at tonight is temporary. But I thank God we can look unto Jesus and see that that's eternal. I believe that it's a secret, really, in life. Every one of us has known some old saints of God. It didn't seem to matter if things were up or things were down. It didn't seem to matter if they were healthy or if they were sick. It didn't seem to matter if they were poor or if they had all the bills paid. It just seemed to matter that they knew Jesus and they loved him. Because this world was not their home. Let me show you something tonight. The Bible said here, he looked for a city which hath foundations. What happened over there? Look over there in the book of Corinthians with me for just a minute. Take me just a moment to remember 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. This is what's in my heart tonight. I didn't plan on going here, but look at it with me just a moment. We're talking about realizing this world is not our home. Look in verse number 8. Well, let's look in verse number 7. This text will always be special to me. I read this text as my mama was leaving this world. She had already been unconscious for 24 hours. And when I got down to verse number 8 in chapter number 5, my mama said, amen. That was the last word she said. being confident, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. My mama said, amen. And said it loud enough till I could hear it without my ears. I believe she was just waiting on me to get to it. But let's go back and look at the text. We're talking about this world not being our home. The Bible said we have treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let me ask you something tonight. Is Jesus a treasure to you? Is there anything in this world you'd rather have than Jesus? Is there anything in this world that you'd rather have than the love of God in your heart, the joy in your heart, the peace in your heart? Is there anything in this world that you'd rather than just knowing my name is written over there in glory? Amen. And this world is not my home. It's a treasure, the Word of God said. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now watch this. This tamps down pride. If there's any good thing about any of us, he's responsible for it. Amen. It's because of the treasure that lives in us. It's not because of us. Paul said, I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But there's treasure in the spirit of that man, in the spirit of God that lives in that man. The Bible said we have this treasure. Now watch. Look in verse number 8. I'm talking about the faith advantage. We know this world is not our home. He said in verse number 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Has anybody been paying any attention to the rhetoric that's going on in America in the last week or so? I'm telling you, beloved, they're encouraging people to take to the streets. You know, I don't want to be smart tonight, but they might ought to rethink that. I'm serious as a heart attack when I say this tonight. There's a bunch of people that don't believe in the Second Amendment, want to come after a bunch of people that do believe in the Second Amendment. You might ought to rethink that. Where did just logic go? But Paul was living in a day when he talked about being persecuted, but he's not destroyed. He said, I'm always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. See, we've got to die in order for him to live. That's why Paul said, I die daily. I've got to get this old carcass of mine out of the way in order for him to shine through in my life. We're talking about the faith advantage. He said, so death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith. Look at that. I didn't even realize that was there. But look, according to it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now watch, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We're talking about the faith advantage, realizing that this world now is not our home. Look what the Bible said. In verse number 17, he said, for our light affliction. Brother Brian's with us tonight. And what that man's been through in the last year, this pastor would never call it light affliction. But I would dare say, Brother Brian, if we could spend some time with the Apostle Paul in a year of his ministry, it might have been 100 times worse. I don't know of a time, Brother Brian, that you didn't have somebody standing with you, whether it was your wife or somebody in your family or somebody, a friend that just loved you. You always had. But Paul said there was a time in his life when no man stood with me. Isn't that right? He said, no man stood by me. He said, howbeit the Lord stood with me. What I'm talking about is the faith advantage. I'm talking about a man that is perplexed, distressed. He's killed all the day long, the Word of God said. But watch what he said here. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You say, preacher, what was the secret? Look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, the faith advantage. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think about that tonight. I don't know about you. There are times when I do get a little down. Would somebody help me tonight? And I've noticed something about the times when a person, with me anyway, I got my eyes in the wrong place. Somebody help me. I got my heart in the wrong place. Somebody help me. And that just lets us know, amen, that, listen, after we get saved by the grace of God and we're born again of God's Spirit, ain't nothing down here going to satisfy us. We're going to have to look to Jesus to be satisfied and to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe you went down there in that jail with Paul and Silas. They weren't in there, brother, just to minister to the prisoners. Amen. They were prisoners. And I believe you could have went down there that night. I believe what those prisoners understood after just a short while is them old boys are seeing something we ain't seeing. Them old boys know somebody we don't know. They got something in their heart we don't have. How many believes that? They're down there at midnight. I'm talking about their backs bleeding. They've been beaten. And they're praising God and singing songs. Paul might have been like me and Brother Harvey was back here talking about it a while ago. Was glad we didn't have to be able to sing to get into heaven. We'd both be left outside the gate. Paul may not have been able to sing a lick. But I bet you whatever it was coming out of his mouth sounded good to Jesus. Say amen. And it must have sounded good, Brother Thurman, to those other men. Because God shakes the jail and the doors fly open and nobody leaves. Paul says to the jailer, we're all here. Do thyself no harm. He came trembling with that light. I believe that light was playing Amazing Grace as he trembled coming in there. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Boy, I tell you, that's sweet, isn't it? All because there was two men in a jail that realized this world was not their home. They could be happy in the midst of the most excruciating circumstances. They could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, as I studied this afternoon, there was 20 things. I believe there's 23 now. So the time we get back next Wednesday, God only knows how many there'll be. But we're on number 10. How many believes it's an advantage, a great advantage to believe God? You remember Paul, I'm trying to shut up. You remember Paul in that storm out there in Acts 27? He told them boys not to set sail. Howbeit, the Bible said they listened to the captain of the ship more than the man of God. They said, well, that old dumb preacher, he don't know nothing. That man right there, he's the one that's running this ship. He knows it. And they get out there and they get in that storm. And Paul tells them, remember when he stands out on the ship, he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. He wasn't rubbing it in. He said, but you should have listened. You should have listened. We didn't have any business setting sail. But he let them know that there stood by me this night the angel of God whom I serve. Remember that? And he said, there's not going to be a loss of any man's life, but of the ship. He said, be of good cheer. Remember the next three words? I believe God. I believe God. I tell you what I believe. I believe if we'll just believe God, we can have a smile when nobody else is smiling. We can have peace when nobody else has peace. Regardless of the circumstances, we can go on with God. How many believe that tonight? Amen. I appreciate the Word of God, don't you? I appreciate Abraham. He looked for a city. I'll tell you this and I'm done. I didn't think about it until after I got saved. But there's a fellow that I used to deer hunt with. His name was Steve. And Steve killed a little old buck. And he knew a way that we could go and we'd bring that deer out right in front of his house. And we pulled that deer. It took a while just to get it to the top. And we went out the top and he'd say, it's just over that next hill. We'd get up on top of that next hill. He said, no, this ain't it. It's just over that next hill. And I'm not kidding. We pulled and we pulled and we pulled and we pulled. And he kept saying, it's just, and I got saved and I got to thinking about Abraham. Wonder if he didn't look at Sarah and say, Sarah, honey, it might be just over that next hill. That city that we're looking for, whose builder and maker is God. How many believes Abraham didn't drive his stakes too deep down here? He was ready to move. Appreciate you being here tonight. Are you glad you came? Do you have the faith advantage? You know what? I'm like the Apostle Paul. I ain't much. But he said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's by the grace of God tonight that I have the faith advantage that I get to be a believer in a world where most of the people are on the broad way. You and I get to walk with God on the narrow way. Isn't that a blessing?